Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of the Televangelist Podcast. We are going to cover episode 5 of WandaVision, and we are going to go over the lines from the episode that give us clues. So it's kind of like our Whose Line Is It Anyway edition of WandaVision, as we break down and look for clues as to what is going on and try to just see where the show's going, see if we can put our detective hats on. And in general, Keith, before we get started, what have you thought of the show so far?
So, full discretion, I hated it the first 2-3 episodes and had given up on it after the third. They had the first 2 episodes premiere at the same time. Then the third episode came out, and at that point, I didn't read comics and stuff growing up, so I didn't know a lot of the storylines that they might be basing it off of. And then that fourth episode came out, and it was all a buzz on Twitter, like it always is on Friday. You got to avoid that if you watch the show, because people will spoil it. I watched the fourth episode, loved it. It was more similar to, obviously, the Marvel universe that we've seen as a whole so far. And then I started, going down that rabbit hole, reading everything I possibly could. And I really enjoyed the fifth episode, too. And to me, what's interesting is I've seen in several places, they're calling this a jumping off point for the next, place that Marvel goes in general. It's going to have a lot to do with the next Spider-Man movie, the next Doctor Strange, some of the TV shows coming out. And so it's almost becoming one of those all-encompassing thing where, I'm not saying you have to watch all of them, but it's just like with Endgame and Infinity War, if you didn't watch all the movies, it wouldn't mean the same to you. You wouldn't understand, all the callbacks, all the, the jokes, all the just little things that intertwine throughout the series. And I feel like they're getting a little bit better at, doing that. And I mean, this machine just keeps right on rolling.
Yeah, it's interesting that they took this risk, and I think that it wasn't that much of a risk because Marvel has such equity with his fan, with their fan base, that they're able to do something that's this outside the box. Did you want to alternate with the lines, or do you want me to just go through the lines and we can just banter back and forth?
It's your show, man. You do the lines, and I'll get in where I need to.
All right, so the first line I saw, which was, I thought was actually the most interesting line of it to me, is Agnes, and she says, "Should we take it from the top?" And that's when she comes in, and she's going to babysit the twins, and Vision is kind of against it, and Agnes knows that Wanda has the power to hit the rewind button. What did you take from that?
So on the first viewing, I thought that this was showing that Wanda was kind of losing her grip on everything going on in Westview. With, there's just so much now happening, and, she's obviously aware of what's going on outside. We've already seen the beekeeper, come inside. She finds the helicopter. Vision's asking questions. And I thought that maybe that's what that was about, was that just there's so much going on and she's controlling all these people, this whole world, these 2,500 people and everybody in the city. But having watched it a couple more times, I think this is more that if Agnes is the character from the comics that most people believe she is, who, Agnes wears a brooch, which is why a lot of people think that, she actually teaches Wanda to unlock her power. She works with Mephisto. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I wonder if this was not on purpose as a way to start dissension between Wanda and Vision. Because if you notice in this episode, there's a couple of times she's always there, when the kids are around. Also when they're both growing. And it's also kind of right when her and Vision are starting to sort of argue. And I don't know why she would be wanting to get dissension between them, but I mean, you noticed immediately when she said that line, she looked at Wanda, and then Vision immediately asked, what was that? And Wanda, of course, is just like, I have no idea. What are you talking about? And it really starts everything that continues to happen throughout the episode. Obviously, Vision's seen at his workplace, and just sort of his wondering what the hell is going on. And as he says, you know, we're not normally of the same mind, but not right this second.
Yeah, I also thought it was just how she is a part. I think my theory is that, and I did it on the YouTube version. If anybody wants to look that up, I'll put that in the links to some of the theories I've been talking about. I think she's kind of the conduit. I think that Mystifo, oh gosh, I can't say it. Now that you messed it up, I can't say it. It's a hard. Say his name.
Mephisto? Is that right?
Mephisto. Maybe. It's like a fist. It's a hard Mephisto. So when Mephisto is, I believe he's trying to come into this world, and I think that she's like the conduit, and somehow by her creating this world, it's going to give him a portal to come into the world somehow. So I think that she's trying to placate Wanda as much as she can, but I also think that she's not strong enough to control Wanda, so she's trying to do it in a manipulative kind of way. So also, I thought this was a very good line, and I'll tell you what I think of it after I say it this time, and you can chime in. Darcy, sure. Who I love, Kat Dennings, the sexist in me wish she wasn't a scientist, because there's so many the good stuff about Kat Dennings, but that's fine.
She plays a role. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes. I know we're sexist, sorry, but we're men. But whatever. But it'd be really cool if she was a superhero. But anyway, she says those are blank, and this is after Monica gets her x-rays, and the x-rays are just blank, and I believe that is because she has superpowers. And I know you had some things to say about how she is in the comics for the people that don't know.
Yeah, in the comic books, she actually develops some of the powers that Captain Marvel has, which obviously is you know, it makes sense considering her connection to, you know, Carol Danvers, the you know, her connection with Captain Marvel, obviously. And it's interesting. She gets her powers in the comics from a different, you know, manner. But I almost wonder if it's not from her being thrown through the wall by, Scarlet Witch, Wanda, that if that doesn't start it, because we know the radiation count is very high in there. And maybe if this is the way that they introduce her powers, where she is just starting to develop them actually through that moment when she goes through the field, and she's going to slowly start to develop those powers over the rest of the show. They've already confirmed that she's going to be in the second Captain Marvel movie. We had that, you know, weird, I don't know if we're going to cover that, about her and Captain Marvel in the middle of this episode. And I just think this is going to be the start, or, you know, the sort of red herring that she is going to be the character that she is in the comics, which is Photon, which is obviously after her mother, which that was her nickname when she was a pilot. And she doesn't have quite the strength of Captain Marvel, but she has a lot of the same powers. And I'm going to be interested to see how they say she gains those powers, but I think this was definitely a sign that they're moving in that direction, because there's no other explanation for why she would not show up, you know, on these normal vitals, you know, scan.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely agree with your take on that. And so we got Darcy, got a lot of lines, because Darcy does a lot of the explaining. She does it in an entertaining way, but she definitely does a lot of the exposition. And there's a lot to explain in this show. So Darcy, while Agent Hayward, the guy who runs S.W.O.R.D., is talking, Jimmy Woo basically wants to say that he's an asshole, but he doesn't. And then Darcy says, "Then allow me." Hayward's A, and they cut it off. And Hayward says, "Terrorist." I didn't want to include that line because I don't like the line itself, but I feel like that cut was not an accident. Whether they're giving you a red herring to make you go the other way, or if he really is a terrorist or does some kind of terrorist actions, or maybe S.W.O.R.D. has some kind of plan, people are theorizing that he's really a bad guy. What do you think?
I mean, you have to think he is. I mean, everything about it, he came off so phony to me in, you know, the first interaction that he had with her, when, you know, he's basically explaining to her what happened. You know, she was blipped out. Her mother, you know, died during it. She had protocols in place where, you know, she unfortunately has to stay, you know, on Earth for any of her, you know, early cases, and that he took her role, you know, and it just, to me, that was the first sign of it. But I mean, the way he described Wanda in this, you know, as a terrorist for what she did, and good for Jimmy Woo for, you know, being like, well, that's, you know, you're not really giving a full picture description of this. There's more to that story than just what happened. I definitely think that there's something up here. And, you know, just look at the fact that what were they doing with Vision's body? We know that it was in Wakanda, you know, when he died. I'm assuming that if he had, you know, in his will that he didn't want to try to be brought back to life, well, what were they doing with his body? It seems like to me that there's a good chance that the reason Wanda went angrily to go get Vision was she found out that they were doing testing and trying to use his powers, whether it be to make weapons, to resuscitate him, whatever it may be. The other really thing that, you know, just I was thinking about is, why didn't he share that earlier? Why did he just share the video of her going in and stealing Vision's body? When, if you notice in the first episode that he's introduced, he acts like he doesn't know what's going on with Wanda or Vision. Well, if she went and stole Vision, and then this is going on in this area, there's a pretty good, you know, explanation for what's going on right there. And all of that was just brought up when, hey, I can share this video with you now. I definitely think you're right. It could be a huge red herring, and maybe he's a good guy. Who knows? But it definitely seems like with his behavior, you know, as Darcy said, you know, he's a peach, I think is what she called him at one point. He seems to be heading to maybe be the big bad, or at least associated with it. And it would be even more interesting if that had something to do with, you know, just him coming to power. Because if it is, in fact, Mephisto. He is basically the devil in the comics, and that is what his character is. Then he would have some serious powers and the ability, and maybe then you can get into the snap was not so much random, and certain people were chosen, because if you remember, Wanda was one of the people that gets snapped away as well. So I definitely think he's you know, on the bad side, and I'm very interested to see who he is, because we don't know who's going to be the next big bad for Marvel for this next phase. I do think you're going to get a hint of it when we come out of this this series.
I kind of hope that he's not bad, because he did have the relationship with Monica's mom and a relationship with Monica, and I just mean like a friendship relationship, respect. And also, it's like kind of too obvious. And I do kind of like Shades of Grey. Maybe he's just like on the detective shows where there's a cop that's straight by the book. And then the other cop's like, no, they're not really a bad guy. I can reach them. You know, I'm hoping they do that, because I feel like it's too obvious. And Sword's not supposed
Fury
to be.
Fury comes across that way, right? Like, I mean, you could be describing, I guess now that I think about it, you could be describing Fury with a lot of his, you know,
yeah,
behavior.
Yeah. Fury disagrees with Captain America and Iron Man in different times. So, you know, it could be that. I think that's just too obvious the way they're doing that. But, you know, they might do it. One of the other ones that I really, really, really wanted to discuss is Vision saying to Wanda, we are usually of the same mind. And that was after Wanda just demonstrated all of her powers right there in front of Agnes. And she made the excuse that Agnes saw the twins grow and she didn't care. And so Wanda is feeling more open about the power, but also there's a reference to the Mind Stone that basically kind of created Vision, if I can remember, Age of Ultron, which I didn't like, and gave Wanda her powers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And this is something that Marvel is so good about, particularly on this show, is there's just, I mean, such a small line that has, I mean, you can call it a theory, you can call it just a, you know, a coincidence, but it's like what you're saying. They both came from Infinity Stones. One was created, the other one was given their power from. You remember in Infinity War when Vision is having all these headaches and stuff, he actually asked Wanda, you know, to, you know, tell me what you feel. And, you know, she touches the stone and says, I just feel you. And I also wonder, you know, if it's just not showing that he's realizing, waking up, whatever you want to call it, that there's becoming a rift, a ruse, something is going on, you know, between Wanda and Vision. And I think it also shows, because there's been some people that are questioning whether or not she's actually controlling Vision or not. And I just think that, she's clouding, you know, the new Vision's, you know, mind, but not necessarily completely controlling him. And it's also been interesting, of course, with him dying in Endgame, or excuse me, I guess Infinity War, that he doesn't remember anything before Westview. And it's almost like he's a new person. And she has, that does make me think that she's, you know, put memories in his mind that she wants him to have, because he can't remember anything before, but he obviously knows they're, you know, together. He knows they love each other. He knows they're a family. He knows they have powers. It's just, there's definitely going to come a point at some point in this series where Vision's going to, you know, be fully woke, if you will, and he's going to have to make a tough decision if Wanda is not being controlled by somebody else and is actually truly manipulating everything.
Yeah, I think it is setting up for Wanda versus Vision, where they literally were about to possibly come to, like, blows or something like that at the end of the last episode, and it kind of settled down. But it is coming to a point where Vision's going to seem like he feels so guilty about what she's doing, and maybe have to be the one to stop her, almost like a kind of like Wolverine. People don't like this movie, X-Men Last Stand, but Wolverine and Jean Grey, where he kind of has to put her down and stop her. I don't know if we get that dark. And also the, but we know not totally put her down, because she's going to be in Doctor Strange too. So the next one, and I'll go straight to your opinion on you on this one. This is Darcy again. It says Wanda is rewriting reality, and Monica responds, "What happens if we send something in that requires no change?"
So, you know, this is going to play a part in the next episode or one of the upcoming episodes. I don't know if you saw the trailer that came out. I believe it was on the Super Bowl. It shows that Monica is driving this giant truck, and it appears through the hex. I don't know, you know, what exactly she kind of means by here, because I know that, you know, they definitely are talking about, and it proved it with her outfit, because, you know, she had the Kevlar on when she went in there, and she realized, which I thought was interesting how she just had a hunch on that. I think there's some more to go with Monica and her connection to Wanda right now as well, but, you know, she shoots the gun at it, and they realize that the Kevlar is actually in the 70s outfit that Wanda basically rewrote reality. It's saying that she has to have something. She can't basically give illusions to people. She's not, you know, making people see stuff. You know, I just watched the Spider-Man Far From Home. It's not like, you know, Mysterio in that sense, where it's making you think you're seeing something. She's literally taking items in there and manipulating them to basically whatever she wants. So I think that's why Monica was unnoticed by Wanda until she mentioned her brother, because, you know, it was like Vision first found out that Monica was somebody different when the neighbors were being nosy neighbors and saying that, you know, she doesn't even have a house. And Wanda, you know, obviously befriended her and did not show any suspicion until she mentioned Ultron and killing her brother. And that's getting to the point where I think Monica has realized that she can, if you can get in there with something that she wouldn't notice, that would just kind of blend in, you might have a way to kind of go undercover again and maybe try to stop this from the inside.
Yeah, I kind of agree for that too. Like, maybe she'll go, I don't know, they're going to send somebody in, like, right there. And then this one was when things were getting heated. Vision says, "You can't control me the way you do them. Can't," and Wanda responds, "Can I? Can't I, rather?"
Man, this is the one that, like, I spent the most time honestly thinking about, because I can't tell if she is asking herself that question. Like, she's, you know, wondering, can I truly control Vision? Because there's times that, you know, he obviously knows what's going on. He knows that she's changing, you know, each night when they go to bed and wake up the next morning, it's an entire new decade inside the house, the clothes they're wearing. I mean, this, we know Vision can't remember events before Westview. Remember that, that he said that, that he can't remember anything before then. You know, this could be from him dying and being resurrected, whether that was by Wanda or another person. So Vision has, he's just gone off script too many times, in my opinion, to be controlled completely by Wanda or another being. And because of that, I think she's literally almost asking herself, like, can I? And then the other way, just you could look at it, was it a threat? You know, was she saying, I'm basically giving you free will right now, but if you don't get with the picture, I will control you because I have that power. And if Wanda is slowly turning dark, which that has happened in a few of the comic books that they're saying they base this off of, that could be the road or kind of a hint that we're heading down that path.
Yeah, it's just, it's so funny that I want to know, which is my question about it, is how much control does she have over Vision? Because it seems the fact that he keeps finding out more and more, it's not a total control, but then sometimes it can be total control. Well, she just rewinds it. She starts the credits. So maybe she's losing her control over him. And he clearly has the ability to touch people. We saw it on the trailer for the show itself. And I think this is finally going to be the Halloween episode that they keep teasing on all the trailers. He touches Agnes. He touches the guy from work. He touches their heads. And he allows them to be their normal selves. Now, he didn't do that with Agnes, and I don't know the black guy's name, who's the neighbor. He doesn't do that with them when they're trying to tell him something, but it's like the further into it they go, the more she loses control of controlling him, but she's still hinting that she can do it. So I don't know. I don't know if she's just losing the control or the more he knows she has less control. So I don't know.
And just on the trailer that you're talking about, when I saw the part where he touches Agnes and she immediately goes, am I dead? And he goes, why would you ask a question like that? And she goes, well, you are. I was just like, can I watch this episode like right this second? Because you know at that point he's going to realize what is going on. That's probably going to snap something into him. And we've obviously seen from some of the trailers he's going to actually try to go outside the hex and I think figure out what is going on. And it's going to really kind of, I think these episodes, which have, you know, a lot of the complaints was the first few were slow and it was building. I get it now, but I think we're going to really pick up pace and action, you know, over these last four episodes, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we don't have answers to yet. And if it's setting up for all these different movies, and this is sort of the basis for the next phase of Marvel, there's a lot of stuff to come.
And let's see, we got, I thought this was a good one, and I want to get your take on it, and I didn't know if we were going to include it or not, but I think we should. Vision says, why are there no other children at Westview? And they have this creepy thing in the other episodes where they say, for the children. You know, what is your take on that particular line?
So there's basically two things to it, because I mean, I'm sure anybody listening to a podcast on WandaVision has noticed that the only kids we have seen are their twins, you know, their kids. And even Agnes, you know, makes the comment that you can't control kids. So I think that's the two lines that are kind of giving you a hint of what's going on. Either A, Wanda or whoever is controlling this literally can't control, you know, children. And Wanda has proved that with her own kids, because, you know, the baby, she can't make them stop crying. You ever hear her say to Vision, why can't I make them stop crying? Because she obviously has the ability to control stuff. She also, you know, tells them not to age. And you know, they do anyway when they obviously want a dog. So is it something where the kids are outside, you know, the hex, where maybe Wanda, if she is controlling this, you know, didn't want to control children, if that, you know, if that's a line too far, or maybe it's a deal where she literally can't control children. And it also makes me wonder, did maybe the kids were in there, but she couldn't control them and somehow they got out? And that's something we're going to see down the line, where either kids are, you know, in a group in the world, or they have snuck outside of it to refugee. But I mean, come on, if it's a 2,500 person city, you know there was kids in there when she went in, and the fact that the only kids left are hers, there's definitely something more to it. There is a thing from the comics that I almost don't even want to include because it's so dark, I don't think that's the direction that they're going to go, so I'm not going to bring it up really or go into detail. It's basically just that the twins are basically a manifest of all the
Fisto here.
kids that that were in the city, and it's just like, boy, that would be
Yeah, that would be
entirely too
really
dark,
dark.
even for Marvel. But I think that it's, I think the kids are the secret to it. That whether it be that, the kids, I think they are real. There's a lot going on, and whether or not, they actually are truly their kids. Were they born, or are they real, or are they, something that she sort of imagined, especially with the cliffhanger from the end of the episode. But I mean, think about how powerful those kids would be. I mean, Vision and Wanda are your parents, are two of the strongest Avengers, like maybe with the exception of Captain Marvel, there is. I mean, if you're a bad guy, you would definitely want to be able to get your hands on those kids because, I mean, you got quite a squad. If you've got basically two little mini, Wandas and Visions, and you can destruct some serious chaos. And their kids in the comics end up leading the Young Avengers, and they're two of the most powerful ones. I just think that the twins have a lot to do with sort of the story that's moving forward.
I think that just her powers don't affect the children as it, they don't seem to affect her own children as she was trying to get them to go to sleep. I think that that might be some kind of key there. But yeah, I think it's just interesting. I'm not sure what that where that is going
I
that
mean, think about how powerful you have to be able to age yourself 5 years at a time. And I mean, that's the kids doing it. Wanda has proven she's not controlling them because she tells them, don't you do it when they're five. And they just, next thing you know, they're 10, so they can, have the dog. I mean, that's some serious power when you can age yourself. There's been very few people in the Marvel comic universe that have that kind of power to basically control their age and those kind of things, and they're some of the most powerful people in the Marvel universe. So I think it's definitely a red herring showing how powerful these kids are.
and Wanda, this was the most interesting thing because even Monica believes that he, she says a couple episodes earlier that it's all Wanda, but Wanda says, I don't know how any of this started. And Vision says something to the effect of, hey, this might have started subconsciously, but you've lost control of this or you're indulging in this too much. And Wanda's like, I don't know how any of this started in the first place. So I don't know. In the comics, Wanda's really unstable. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of grief that sparks this. She seems to be a little bit more together than she is in the comics. But I think that this is where Mephisto and Agnes come into to life here in the trailers. Agnes tells Vision that he's dead, and I think that's going to be a big revelation next week. I think that somehow, maybe she forgot. She made a deal with Mephisto to have this world, maybe, or she was aided somehow to starting this. Or even if it was her subconscious, I don't know. But it, I don't think she intentionally started it.
Yeah, I agree that I find it hard to believe from what we've seen from Wanda, even with the grief, which I mean, I'm not trying to, knock what she's been to. You need to remember this is only 3 weeks after Endgame. And so remember that Wanda, I mean, basically her last 4 weeks, if you think about it, was she, had all the things that happened in Infinity War. It ended with her killing Vision, who she loved. Then watching it get rewinded back and killed again, all for nothing. Then she gets blipped, so she's gone. Wakes up, has the battle, they win obviously, And it's only been 3 weeks from then. And this is not including, obviously, what happened to her brother or the fact that they went into what she went through that, you know, made her sign up to, you know, be experimented on to have these powers. And it was actually Tony Stark's, you know, Stark Industry bomb that killed her parents. And they thought were going to kill her and her brother. But I do think this, you know, coincides again with Vision not remembering what happened before Westview. And I think it is the biggest clue that Agnes, or as you're saying, another being, is manipulating this situation. Now, my theory from what I've read and just kind of what's going on is that Wanda broke out Vision because of, you know, I think she learned that he was being experimented. When I went back and looked at, you know, when they broke in or she went in to go get him, it almost looked like he was cut into pieces. I don't know if you caught that. If you get a chance, watch it again, because I'm interested to see that. It looked like his body was not whole, like they almost had him in pieces, which again would just give you that they're doing experiments trying to make him into a weapon. And I think that in the comments, there is a storyline where Agnes is actually the one who shows Wanda how to use her powers, because similar to what is going on right now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Wanda has immense powers, but she doesn't even really know how to use them or what all of her strengths and things she can do. And I think somehow she found out that Agnes could help her, whether it be Agnes sought her out or vice versa. She kind of convinces her to go get Vision to save him and that she could help her resurrect him. And I think at that point, she then starts to, you know, manipulate him. I mean, it's something that, you know, like I said, Darcy and Wu even mentioned that, you know, Wanda is doing stuff that is well outside of what they had any idea she had the ability to do. And I just think it was a deal where Agnes or whoever Agnes is working with told her, look, I can help you bring Vision back to life, but you have to create or go to this world. And I think, again, it's all about the children. I think that it's all for them to have the children. That's why they wanted her to break them out. If this is the thing, that's why they wanted them to get together, have this kind of bubble, and they're going to use the children as some kind of weapon in the future, whether it be Agnes or, you know, Mephisto.
And then I think we've got two that kind of go with Pietro. Wanda says, I didn't do that, in reference to the doorbell. And I thought that was very interesting. And again, it leads to Agnes or Mephisto that she's not in total control of this world.
And what's really interesting is you can tell that Vision doesn't believe her.
And yeah, he definitely doesn't.
The acting's great in this because I believe Wanda when she says, I didn't do that. Her face looks genuinely shocked. Same thing when she opens the door. Her face looks genuinely shocked. But you can see on Vision's face when she says that, he looks down at the ground almost like, you know, in depression or just like, I can't believe you're lying to me. And then, you know, stares back at her. And obviously we don't get to see any more of that scene because of what happens next when they open the door. But I just... It's you know, is she lying? Is she being manipulated? It's just really fascinating what is going on here and the dynamic, because she seems so confused at times throughout this episode, and there's been a few other times to where it looks like she is obviously being manipulated by another being. Vision, you know, unfortunately is getting to the point where he does not trust, obviously, Wanda, and if she is being manipulated, that could get to a very bad situation to where, you know, he goes after her without knowing the whole story and knowing that she's not completely in control of what's going on. And it just, again, I don't know if that was just a teaser or just a cool, you know, still of them both, you know, raised up with their powers flying, you know, getting ready to battle with Wanda with her red balls on her hands and Vision, you know, looking like he's getting ready to shoot the yellow laser right out of his head of the stone. But it just, there's so much mistrust right now. And it's one of the lines you said earlier, Vision, they're normally of the same mind. And right now they are definitely not.
And the last one we'll go with is, she recast Pietro, and that was Darcy saying that, and that just opens up a world of possibilities, and that was the shocker. And I'll let you break down some theories of that.
So, first of all, just, I mean, how great of a line is that? Because in the world we live in, we know all about recasting, right? We've seen many main characters, which this is a show that's based on sitcoms, whether it was Becky on, you know, Roseanne, who was recast. I mean, the list goes on and on of people that are recast. But then to also be another version of the same character that was, you know, obviously we have the Marvel version of them and then the Sony version. And then what was crazy, did you feel like that was the Pietro from the Sony movies or a different version of that? Because to me, he did not seem like the same character from the X-Men.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, too. I think they're creating their own version of it because I think, this is when I'm going to go out on a limb, is that it's Mephisto. I think it's Mephisto. It's not really going to be Pietro or Quicksilver or any of them. I think it's Mephisto. I think it's how he enters the world. I think, because if it was something, she doesn't have control of it. So how could her brother, and she has no knowledge of it, she's actually surprised, she doesn't control that he does the door, like she doesn't have knowledge of it. So there's somebody else working, and I think that's how he, and I could be wrong, but it's my prediction, that he is now in the world posing as a brother. I think that's my prediction for that.
That's very interesting. And you know, something that was kind of coincidental, whatever you want to call it, about this was she was asked earlier in the episode by her kids, do you have any brothers or sisters? And she has a brother, and they ask, well, where is he? She pauses, doesn't want to say he's dead. She said he's really, really far away. Now, you could take that several different ways. You could take that as that her brother's dead, obviously, which is what we know in this world, and obviously that would mean he is very far away. Or it could mean that if she is manipulating and her powers are growing, she could literally, because we know we're going to get into multiverses, right? She could fill Pietro from another universe, which is obviously very far away. And then whether you want to say she subconsciously brought him there, whether you want to say that they knew that she was thinking about him, they couldn't, you know, if it is Mephisto or, you know, whether it be Agnes or whoever it is, and they know that this would be a great way to continue to manipulate her and to continue to kind of use her as a puppet, they would bring a version, because she even looks when she first opens the door like she genuinely doesn't know who it is, which would make sense because it doesn't look like her brother. And it's not until he says, you know, you're not going to basically hug your brother, that, you know, she squeezed him. And then you can kind of see just the relief and love and stuff on her face because she accepts it, which even brings more to kind of your point that she's being manipulated by somebody in this situation. The other crazy thing is, you know, in the comics, and this was obviously not the case in the Marvel, you know, we know that Pietro is, in the Sony's world, in the X-Men world, his dad is Magneto. Well, in the comics, Wanda's dad is also Magneto. So, I mean, is that, again, an alternate universe? They did give the names of the parents, but obviously we don't know who the hell they are. Like, are we going to eventually get to where Magneto's here? Is it? Do you think this is just about WandaVision, or do you think this is going to eventually incorporate more X-Men before the end of this series?
That's a good question, because the elephant in the room for this series is that there's going to be a Luke Skywalker type appearance, and I think they
had a pretty big one right at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
five.
Like, I don't know if that qualifies. That
that's it. No, that's not it.
And Paul Bettany is basically he went on the Barstool podcast, the guy that plays Vision, if people don't know. He went on the Barstool podcast that they have an entertainment podcast, and he basically said that it's going to be somebody he hadn't worked with. It's kind of the implication that it's already somebody that's been in the movies. So, I mean, people have predicted everything from Magneto to Spider-Man to Doctor Strange, which I really do think it's just going to be Doctor Strange, since the movie is, Wanda is supposed to be in Doctor Strange 2, and it's Multiverse of Madness, and so we're going to have a lot of the multiverse things going on. So I do think the multiverse is how X-Men get there, but I'm not sure that WandaVision is going to do it, because I don't know. It would be nice if they made her a mutant, but they've already kind of established her history, and so without retconning her whole history, like, how do you really make her a mutant? So I do think it's coming, but I'm not sure X-Men is going to come via WandaVision. I think they're just going to go the Doctor Strange route, and then you could get the... But it would be really badass if somehow Professor Xavier, like, came through from, like, another dimension or something and stopped Wanda. Or even if she did, instead of having no more mutants like she did in the comics with House of M, somehow, but people are starting to sour on this one. But from the beginning, everyone was saying she's going to do the reverse of what she did in House of M, where she said no more mutants, and somehow she's going to bring all these mutants to life, which I think would be cool.
So the other interesting from the trailer was, you know, Pietro for the episode, either, I guess it's the episode coming up, it might be further, because I think they showed more than just, you know, this next episode, you know, he made a comment about, you know, your husband's been dead, or you can't kill your husband twice. So that to me was also something I'm just like, wow, now I have no idea, because whether it be the Pietro, you know, that actually was her brother and for some reason he's showing up looking different, or it's Pietro from another universe, kind of to your point, how would he know that? Because neither one of them were around for Vision dying, and he definitely knows that. So again, I think that gets to, I actually really like, you know, the theory you got that maybe it's not actually Pietro and it's somebody using something that they know can manipulate her and we know has bothered her and caused her so much grief. I mean, remember the scene at the end of Ultron when she literally rips out his heart, you know, just to show him how she feels from having her brother taken away. It's just, I mean, there's just so many, this show has kind of perfected, you know, I think kind of what comics have always done, which is just get fans talking, you know, and there's so many directions and different paths and stuff you go. And that's kind of peak TV right now, right? Yeah. And peak movies is that when you can watch something and then spend hours on Reddit and then spend hours on Twitter and then, you know, read articles and then you can, you know, come up with your own theories. And it's almost more fun from the second the show ends
until I've the had that second too.
The first episode begins, and it is during the actual show.
Yeah, I've told
you. And I mean, you know you have something great when that's the case.
Yeah, I've had a couple podcasters or YouTubers. The one I really like, I'll shout him out, Emergency Awesome, is really good on YouTube. And I told him on Facebook, I said, man, I enjoy your breakdowns more than the show. It's just... It's like I used to feel about the NFL. It's like as soon as the game ends, I can see the all 22 and see what really happened. So it's like it's unique in that. I remember doing that with Game of Thrones because there was so much to catch up on. Yep. I remember doing that with the first season of True Detective, where there was so much stuff about the it was some kind of king, I can't remember, but Carcosa and all that kind of stuff. So it's rare that a show can get you to study up on it and just dive into it. To do that. So, but yeah, any predictions? Let's wrap it up because we're about 45 minutes. We're going over 45 minutes. We don't make it too much an hour. You have any predictions for next week? I do think it's gonna be the Halloween episode.
I just hope that we get who the big bad is. Like that's the one thing that worries me a little bit is we are now what, 4 episodes left? It's only 9, right? Not 10. I think it's 9, but if there's only 4 episodes left, we've got to get some kind of backstory on the big bad, because I don't think you can have resolution of the story without knowing it. And that has been one weakness that Marvel has had consistently over its movies is there, you know, with the exception of Thanos, who was fantastic, but really, and Loki's good. But other than that, I mean, their big bads are awful. And a lot of it's because if you look at Thanos and Loki, you get backstory. You understand it. And it's just like, you know, we're both wrestling fans. What are the best heels, right? The ones that actually have a case or actually have an argument for, you know, they'd be ridiculous. But there's a reason to why they're ridiculous. And you kind of go, okay, I see where they're coming from. And I just hope they really give whoever the villain is on the show time and the screen and the dialogue and everything to get you where you really understand them, because it's just a paint by numbers. And that's been the only thing really, in my opinion, you could say has been disappointing about Marvel as a whole over the last decade.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that the big reveal or the big thing that we're gonna get next week is just in particular next week is I think that there's gonna be a permanent dissolution, or maybe not permanent, but there's gonna be a rift that might even get physical between, or with their powers, between Vision and Wanda. They even show the preview of him leaving the bubble, but kind of
Oh,
falling
yeah.
down to his knees. He finds out that he's dead. Unless I'm off, I do think that's the Halloween next episode. We know, you never know, but it looks like
Do you
it.
think if he goes outside the bubble, he returns to his dead version?
I don't know. They showed him falling to his knees. I don't know if she's pulling him back, or I would imagine, yeah, because she didn't create him out of thin air like she did the twins. Like, she's not creating him. She pulled him into the bubble like she pulled Monica. So,
And then, yeah, and she can, obviously, once somebody's in there, she can manipulate it, but she can't just make something out of thin air, which was the
so.
best shot of the series so far, was when, for just a moment, she looks at Vision and sees the version of him right after he was killed, which was just, man,
Yeah,
that was like a horror
that
thing. That was
was crazy.
great.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that he's gonna be trying to stop her, and trying to begin like just breaking off from her and trying to stop her and what she's doing to all the people, because he's gonna be just think, realize he's wrong. So that's my prediction. So, anything you want to plug? But before that, I'll say make sure you give this podcast and the IB Network 5 stars. Not going to go into all the stuff, but make sure you just rate, subscribe the podcast.
Yeah, and just definitely check out the videos you've been putting on YouTube. And if you have not listened to the previous WandaVisions, I mean, RC is just killing it on this. He actually was the one that convinced me through his podcast to continue to give the show time and, not get impatient. And I'm very thankful he did, because now it's like one of my favorite shows on TV right now. And also, be sure to look next week for what's going to be really cool, something they have not done, where both Vision and Wanda are going to be using their are wearing their actual comic book character outfits, which they've been pushing for apparently from the get-go. And you really have not seen any character in the Marvel Universe wear exactly one of their comic book outfits, and both of them are going to wear it. I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And the way they can do it with a Halloween
Yep.
costume, that's a good way to do it, because the costumes are kind of goofy, but I still like to
Yes,
see
they
it.
are.
All right, so for Keith Fleming and RC Carlton, enjoy WandaVision, everybody.